This is the former and five-time World Madden champ, Jordan13.8, and you're listening to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix.
It is Saturday, December 9th, 2023, 7:30 a.m. sharp, just a wee bit early this morning. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of the hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by our other lovely hosts, the Josh and Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folks.
We appreciate everyone who chats along in the Discord. I can see Titan was in there with us on Thursday night. He is a big Steelers fan, so we appreciate Titan chatting along as Josh talks shit about the Steelers. Segment start times will be down in the description below. We appreciate at Levi Oki Illustration for all the beautiful art that people can see. And Josh, we appreciate how you are doing this morning. Josh, how are you doing this slightly earlier Saturday morning than normal?
I is a-doing, and how are you, Gar?
You know what? I would say I'm a little tired, but all things considered, you know, not bad, not terrible. But so with that in mind, I could be a little bit more off my game, so judge me harshly if you must.
A minus.
Okay. I'm still
it's the old
A's.
Anoka.
Still above 90%.
Anoka Ramsey Community College grading scale right there.
Oh, dude. That's why. Why do you think I went there for 13th and 14th and at least the first half of 14th grade, dude? Why would I not?
I guess. No, that's a good point.
Get those easy grades and transfer, son.
Yes. That's why I went there for my for 1 year after my first year.
After your first stint at the Duluth.
Yep. Trial run.
Did you do anything fun or exciting, Josh, between Tuesday and today?
I probably did, but I don't remember. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Not a whole lot. You know, I worked, quote, or like, you know, finger quotes. Bob was here and working on the basement this week. So the basement's nearly finished. We just need like the flooring and painting and stuff. And then, so that's kind of exciting because then we could just, you know, we could have more space. Not sure we're going to put all the stuff that we have, but we'll figure it out. We might just, you know, have Kaya dig a hole in the backyard and put a bunch of stuff in that. Otherwise, not a whole lot, Gard. How about you? Did anything happen?
Well, Josh, I know I think I left away all mention of it on Tuesday, but maybe this will just be the Saturday morning show thing where I give a couple updates until the podcast is done for the season, but... Josh, as I first alluded to you last Saturday, there may or may not be a lovely woman who I've gone on some dates with. Now, at this point, it's plural. Last Saturday morning, it was just singular, one date. At this point, it's been three dates. So things are going good. I'm not going to jinx it. We can use, I don't know, you were probably done listening to K-Fan or the Power Trip Morning Show at this point, but Meat Sauce had gotten a new girlfriend and they referred to her as like her or she or something. So we can come up with some sort of mysterious moniker. I'm not going to dox her with her name at this point. But yeah, things are going well. I'm a little extra tired this morning, maybe potentially from the lovely woman. But no, things are going good and exciting, and there's a chance people can more know about her soon. We'll see. But I'm excited about it, and I'm probably too tired to fully appreciate how I feel about it this morning. But
well, you know what? I'm happy for you, Gar. That's great. I do think that, you know, this is just workshopping, so we, you know, obviously come up with some new ideas if needed. But since you are garlic, maybe she's bread.
All right, we'll go with bread for now. Bread is doing great. There's a chance to go see bread again today, so you know, gotta keep trucking. All right, Josh. She could also be cheese. She could also be a lot of things. All right, are we ready to get in the start sits? I know we got to keep a tight schedule today. You have places to be or children to watch.
Yeah. If she's a Packers fan, cheese would be the perfect moniker, but I don't know if that's the case.
She's not. She is a Vikings fan. I have already verified. Josh, you think I date a Packers fan? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm married a Vikings fan.
Well, yeah, but you're a masochist and a heathen, and you're intentionally contrarian in enemy territory, so you didn't have much of a choice. Anyways.
I guess that's true. Yeah, moving into the start sits, Gar, as you alluded to, last week was kind of ugly for the Gar and the Walt. You guys went 0-5. I went 3 for 5. Overall differential on the week, you went negative 25. I went positive 1.9. Walters went negative 21.1. So it was an ugly week all around. A lot of that had to do with the kind of the splits on some of the players, the big splits. Devon Achane scored a positive 15.6 differential, whereas Najee got zero and then or got that zero pointer, and then Swift got negative 5.7. So that was a big separator.
Ooh, that's a 20-point swing, yeah.
Yep. And so that was one of the big ones. The other big one was, for you at least, was you took Muth, who was the only one that didn't get over 22 points. He only got 5.9.
Yeah,
Ingram and McBride finished within 0.3 points of each other. So those were the big swings for you. Overall on the season, you are 23 out of 60 with a negative 48.75. You had been so close to positive at one point, and now you're back down to that negative 48. I am 21 out of 60 with a negative 7.7. So where you are having a better picks than me, my picks tend to be a little bit more boom than bust. And then Walters is at 12 out of 35 with a positive 12.8. So using the extrapolation of statistical analysis, data visualization, Walters is in last.
Suck it, nerd.
I'm just, but no, I mean, overall, we're all very close as far as the ones that we get right. Walters is just the one that's positive at this point in time. And his benefit probably has to do with the fact that he showed up
halfway through, approximately.
After we changed the scoring system as well, I believe. Because I don't know if I've updated all that yet. Moving on to this week, Gar, I don't know who went first last week, but we'll just say it was me, so you can go first. Quarterbacks, we've got the Tua versus Tennessee, Jared Goff at Chicago, and then Lamar Jackson at the Rams.
Jackson works off. So Tua has been a pretty solid option this year. QB 11, he started hotter than maybe he has been recently. 2 weeks ago against the Jets, he put up just 8 points, his worst performance of the season, bringing down his average per game down for sure. But then he bounced back against the Washington Commanders just last week with a 19.2. always a solid option. He's probably going to get you between 15 and 20. He's been pretty consistent this year, and performing well in a starting lineup, but you know, fringe starter in 12 man leagues. Jared Goff is that QB 12. He's right behind him. The last 2 weeks he's put up less than 20, an 18 burger and a 16 burger against Green Bay and New Orleans. He is playing Chicago, who should be a little bit more wide open in terms of scoring on offense. They should have a little bit more luck, but just 3 weeks ago they played Chicago and Jared Goff only put up 13.7. this was the did they play on Thanksgiving? Or no, they played Green Bay on Thanksgiving, but this was the Chicago game where it looked rough early for Detroit, and then they came back within like the last 2 minutes of the game. So it's always possible that because they're in Chicago, it's even worse for the Lions. Jared Goff, maybe you want to stay away from him. Lamar Jackson is actually QB 10, so Josh, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but the last three top QB1s, if you will, the bottom three QB1s on the season. He's coming off a bye, so he will have fresh legs, which will be nice. He does have two performances below 10 points this fantasy season, but the last one was in week 5. It looks like his recent average, looking at the last couple weeks, is probably, I don't know, 13 to 15 points or so. So I'm between Tua and Lamar. Lamar is playing against the Rams. Tua is playing against Tennessee. I'm going to take Tua against Tennessee. Josh, who do you like?
Yeah, so those were the two that I was leaning between, just because Goff has had kind of a bit of a struggle recently, and Chicago's defense has actually stepped up. They held the Minnesota Vikings high-flying offense to a solid 10-9, I forget. And so he's kind of out for me. Lamar has been kind of, he started off hot and then he cooled off quite a bit. And so, you know, I'm going to go with Tua as well. I feel like, actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm going with Lamar.
Okay. And we will, Walters, we know we did broadcast half an hour early without letting you know, and that's on both of us.
Whoa.
I mean, what, is it not on you as equally as it is on me?
No, I mean, I told him.
You told him 7 minutes before this morning. But anyway, so Walters, we'll let you just text in the chat later. We'll let you keep playing. So it's between Tua, Jared Goff, and Lamar Jackson. Josh. The running backs, we'll move on here. We will move on to, I believe that's got to be Zach Moss at Cincinnati. Jonathan Taylor's out for the Colts, so Zach Moss stepping up. Then we've got Devin Singletary, Houston Texan running back playing at the Jets. And then finally we have Keaton Mitchell, the Baltimore Raven playing versus the Rams, another Raven option up before us. So Josh, who do you like between Moss, Singletary, and Keaton Mitchell?
Well, Keaton has been kind of explosive in that offense and kind of getting a lot of looks
to different things.
Zach Moss had a struggle last week, but I do think that at Cincinnati, he should have the opportunity to get a little bit better production, but the Cincinnati defense isn't a slouch either. And Singletary's going up against the Jets, whose pass defense is amazing, but the run defense has been kind of questionable. And then Damian Pierce actually had 15 carries last week, so Singletary didn't maintain the huge bell cow role, but he did get most of the targets out of the backfield, if I remember correctly. And so for me, it's between Singletary and Keaton, just for that.
I can tell you Singletary had one target last week.
Oh, well, that's all Damian Pierce said as well, so I don't know. I'm going to stick with the Ravens in this one and just go with Keaton. He's got a cool last name.
To be fair, Josh, I'm with you. Devin Singletary's out since Damian Pierce is back. He only had a 46% snap share last week. You told me Damian Pierce had 15 carries. Singletary only had 8 carries. They were efficient carries at 4.5 yards per carry, but he just didn't get enough going on the ground. So Devin Singletary's out for me. I'm between Keaton Mitchell, who has a potential to be explosive, though he's, you know, somewhere between... You know, he hasn't even surpassed 50% of the snap share yet. He hasn't had more than 10 carries in a game. He has reached 10 touches just once, and that was last week before the bye, where he had 11 touches. But I don't know. I got to go Zach Moss. He had 94% of the snap share. He got 19 carries last week. They were inefficient carries. You know, he only got 51 yards, so 2.7 yards per carry. He did get 3 targets for 2 receptions. Not for a lot of yardage, but I'm thinking Zach Moss will get back into the fold this week. JT's still out, so I'll ride with Zach Moss. And then for Walters, it is again Zach Moss, Singletary, or Keaton Mitchell. It is a good pick, Josh. You're right.
Alrighty. So then moving on to the wide receivers, Gar. Those are the pass catchers who typically stand out wide. We've got Drake London Bridges falling down versus Tampa Bay. Calvin Ridley at Cleveland or Jordan Addison at Las Vegas.
I've said it before, as much as I hate to say it, Addison has been a shell of his former self since Kirk has gone away. He hasn't surpassed 10 fantasy points one time with Big Kirk O'Chain's gone. I could certainly understand the argument that now that JJ is officially back this week, maybe Addison is just getting different looks. He's not the, you know, he's not the, what is it, the Z receiver. He's the X receiver, the Y receiver. I don't know. I never played football, but he's playing a different role this week. Hypothetically, with JJ getting more attention, but that doesn't change who the pass thrower is in Minnesota. Josh Dobbs, while he, you know, he can seem to hit TJ just fine sometimes, he seems to struggle throwing more often than not. So Addison, I think I personally will be out on, but you know, Drake London is also someone who has not had a great fantasy season. He's wide receiver 44. Last week, he put up 1.3 points. He had one reception for 8 yards. So that's, you know, in a half-point PPR, that's depressing. And then Calvin Ridley, he's wide receiver 24 on the year. So Addison has quickly plummeted to be at the Ridley level since Kirk is gone. Ridley is coming off his softest game of the last 3 weeks. He put up almost 28 against Tennessee and then almost 20 against Houston, weeks 11 and 12. And then week 13 against Houston, he still had 8 targets, but only for 4 receptions and 26 yards. I'm going to ride with Calvin Ridley of the 3, even though they're playing the Cleveland defense. Atlanta is just way too unpredictable for me. I don't trust Drake London one bit. And then Jordan Addison, I can't trust him either. So by default, I have to go Ridley with my own process of elimination, even if he has the toughest matchup. How do you feel, Josh?
I'm actually going to roll with you on this one. So we do have this one as the same, Ridley versus Cleveland. The matchup is the toughest, but with Kirk out, a little bit more opportunity for him to get some looks. And so he's going to...
Christian Kirk, that is, to be clear.
Yep. And so that is going to be kind of just process of elimination.
All right, we love it. Walters, you got Drake London, Calvin Ridley, or Jordan Addison. Josh, moving on, you've got Jake. Oh, there he is. You've got Jake Ferguson, tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, playing a divisional matchup versus the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll be a great football game this weekend. You also have George Kittle, tight end for the 49ers, playing versus Seattle, another division matchup. And then you have the TJ Hawkinson playing at Las Vegas. Of course, TJ Hawkinson is the tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. Josh, who do you like there for the tight ends, the tight end world? Fergie, Kittle, or Hockey Sauce?
I like all their tight ends. I'm going to go, you know, I think I've rolled with Ferguson every time he's been on this, been on the list to pick. And so he is going to be the one that I go with.
Okay. Ferguson. Bert Happley. Sure. it's what's the weather like outside, Ollie? It's raining. Jake Ferguson is tight end 8 on the year. He's definitely had some solid performances. Last week, he did put up almost 17 points in the Seattle Thursday night game. They're playing Philly. I assume there will be more offense to be had this week. I like Jake Ferguson as an option. A solid tight end 1 on the year. George Kittle, the other option, one of the other options is tight end 4. The last 2 weeks, he's had less than double digits, just in the single digits, but he's had some really good performances this year. His ceiling at the moment is 26.2, where his floor is 0.6, so quite a boomer bust play potential, though in the last 6 weeks, he's had pretty solid performances, minus 1 game. And then I'm going to ride, though, with TJ Hawkinson by default. He's tight end number 1 on the year, Josh. He has still succeeded with Josh Dobbs. He's put up almost 25 points in a game with Josh Dobbs. Is he quite as consistent since... actually, he might even be better since Kirk has been gone. At least more consistent. He has a tighter point spread since Dobbs has become the starter. So last week he had, or 2 weeks ago, he had 13.5. He's coming off a bye. They've had an extra week here to game plan a bit. Vegas, while Max Crosby is absolutely insane, I don't think people fear their defense necessarily. So I like TJ Hawkinson versus the Raiders, Josh. And Walters, we have been giving all three. We'll let you play along in the chat because we did broadcast early. So your tight end options are Jake Ferguson, George Kittle, or TJ Hawkinson. But since we haven't brought you up to chat, we'll just keep moving, Josh. We will move down to the flexual ceiling of it all. This week, we have to seal our chances for the playoffs in our flex position. So, Josh, who do you like this week? You have Brandon Cooks, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, playing versus the Eagles. You have Matt. Jesus fucking Christ, Josh. I'm so sorry.
Hey, you're supposed to be the one that goes first this time, guard, so I'm going to read him. Brandon Cooks versus Philadelphia. Alexander Fattison at Las Vegas.
Oh, dude, he's no Eddie Lacy. Chill, dude.
Yeah, you're right. Eddie Lacy could hold on to the ball because he thought it was Chinese food.
Oh, dude, couldn't run anywhere, though.
Yeah, but that spin move was prime. And then Rashee Rice versus Buffalo. Gar, go ahead and pick.
You got it. Brandon Cooks has certainly he had a breakout game about a month ago against the Jets. He put up almost 28 fantasy points. Then he kind of stunk against Carolina, but then he was really consistent the last 2 weeks against Washington and Seattle, 15.2 and 14.5. Playing against Philadelphia again, you know, a stiffer defense to play, but also a game where the Cowboys should be capable of putting up more offense. Walters, you have to listen back to the show at the moment. Alexander Mattison, he just kind of stinks. He is running back 30. He should not be in most starting lineups. He's a fringe flex play. But they're playing the Vegas Raiders this week, who should be a better matchup for him. He currently is doing between 40 and 60 yards every single week, which is nice and consistent. He hasn't had a rushing touchdown all year, which is probably his biggest attraction. He does have 3 receiving touchdowns, though, so he's not completely touchdown illness. Alexander Mattison is probably the worst option of the two. And then Rashee Rice, he's had a lot of volume. Specifically the last 2 weeks, he's had 10 targets and 9 targets for 8 receptions each. A touchdown against the Vegas Raiders, but not one against the Green Bay Packers when they lost on Sunday night. So I am between Cooks and Rashee Rice, I believe. I think Cooks has the safer floor, but I'll go for the boom this week, Josh. The Chiefs are playing Buffalo. This could be a high-flying offensive game. I think the Chiefs will have to pass a bit more. They're embarrassed after losing to the Packers up in Green Bay. So I'm going to go with Rashee Rice. Who do you like this week, Josh, between Cooks, Madison, and Rashee Rice?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the rookie. I'm going to roll with you as well. I'm going Rashee Rice just because they are probably pretty embarrassed about losing to the Packers, even though the Packers are eventual Patriot-like dynasty. And so it's going to be, yeah, I'm going to go with Rashee Rice. He has gotten a lot of volume. They like what he's doing. He's getting the balls out of backfield. Plus, Isaiah Pacheco is out. And so they may open up more opportunities for him in the pass game because Jerick McKinnon is old and coming off injury, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is trash.
I'm trash.
I'm trash.
All right, Josh. And Walters is putting in Rashee Rice, so he'll go back. He'll get the rest of them, but he is with us in the flex here. Josh,
well, I put it in the chat for him in the podcast chat.
Oh wow, what a guy! All right, but that is our start sits for now. We will move on because, again, we have to keep a tight time schedule for Mr. Mitchell today. Josh, we'll move on to our FanDuel Bust of the Week, and this will be a quick one. So we've just got one name each. Josh, who you got to be bussing this week and not in the good kids way? Who's bussing this week for you in FanDuel?
Buss it. You know, I'm going with, he's returning from injury after being on the IR. They say he's going to get his 90% plus snap share, but he also has Josh Dobbs throwing the football. I'm going with Justin Jefferson, $9,000, kind of a, you know, are they going to try and force feed him to get him to 2000 yards still this year? Probably.
Imagine 20 targets.
if he gets to 2000 yards on the season, I'll give him a high five.
Oh wow, dude, what a generous guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I don't know if you guys are in the NFC North meme more on Reddit. I was gonna find the one guy's sock and offer to eat it for him, I don't want to risk that.
No, you don't know where that sock's been.
Yeah, I kind of do, but yeah, Justin Jefferson's my bust, $9,000. I don't think he's gonna be worth that value.
Okay. I'm going with a receiver for my bust as well, Josh. It's a matchup we were just talking about when we were discussing the flex. I'm going with Stephon Diggs this week. He's currently 8,700, so certainly one of the more expensive receivers. The Bills have been very hit or miss this year. I assume Diggs will be going up against Trent McDuffie, who is actually a pretty solid cornerback. He might not have the name recognition of all the others out in the world. I believe this is just his second season in the NFL, so if his name isn't huge yet, it's understandable. But Trent McDuffie, good cornerback, solid defender, and the Bills have just been so wily this year, it's hard to trust him. So I will go with Stephon Diggs as my bust this week. Josh, we still do have some time here to discuss potential exciting things coming up in the week here. Is there any specific NFL football games or any specific fantasy matchups that are having you on the edge of your seat this week? It is the final week of the regular season, which I've said about a million times now, so people might be sick of hearing it. But anything that excites you going into week 14 here, Mr. Mitchell?
Well, maybe not excites me, but I will say that after, you know, Isaiah Pacheco dealing with a shoulder injury, I don't know if he hurt it while punching somebody in the helmet or what. He seemed fine up until that point. Hearing that he's out, it's kind of a bummer for quite a few of my teams, especially in the Victoria's Secret League, where last week I already mentioned losing to Glick by less than 2 points cost me from locking in my playoff spot. And now I need to win either both or I think I need to win just one, but I'm going up against Ben, who has the most points or one of the most points for one of the tougher teams with CMC and, you know, just a solid team. So I need to beat the spread, and Isaiah Pacheco is my running back one, because Aaron Jones hasn't played very often. Jalen Warren only put up 6, so it's looking pretty abysmal for me. I'm going to need either CeeDee Lamb to put up 400,000 yards, or I'm going to need everybody else to stink. And otherwise, I'm going to find myself looking out of the playoffs. So yeah, that's fun. Other than that, Packers on Monday versus the Giants should be a great trap game for me to get super depressed about. And so,
Danny DeVito's
looking
back.
Forward to that. Yep. How about you, Gar?
I mean, just from a football standpoint, I think, you know, the divisional NFC North matchup is Detroit-Chicago, seeing if Chicago could try and stack a win, since Detroit did struggle against them just a couple of weeks ago, or if Detroit is back to their more dominant form this year. They're certainly not one of the greatest teams in the NFL, but they have been good. So to see what Detroit can do against Chicago, a team they struggled with recently. I also think, you know, excited to see what the Vikings could do coming off a bye. Jefferson back, does that dramatically change the dynamic, or is it more of the same? Whereas the Vikings, you can obviously tell they're starting a backup quarterback. Time will tell, but we'll see. And I'm also interested to see, because definitely, like, Jefferson is very expressive on the field and on the sideline. When Jefferson's getting missed for what should be easy completions, or when Jefferson's not getting looks, even if he is covered by a defender, I'm interested to see what sort of reaction and body language to see out of Jefferson, because I feel like it's, at least from my perspective, I can't know for sure, but from what I think I know, I think it's easy to read Jefferson, and he could already get pretty frustrated with Kirk on the field. I know, you know, not to say they don't have a good relationship, but he's just someone who really lives in that moment. So I'm interested to see if it's much worse with Dobbs out there, if Jefferson is way more frustrated, or if it looks very similar. So that's just as a Vikings fan, as someone who watches the games closely, I'll be interested to see what Jefferson is like. Of course, KC Buffalo should be a good game Sunday night. Philly Dallas, that's a huge game. I don't think most people are counting on it, because Dallas is always that team that looks good, but they struggle against the good teams. But right now, Dallas could steal that division, which is crazy to say, if the season ends right for them. So that'll be a huge playoff implication matchup. Both teams destined for the playoffs at this point. And then two Monday night games, Tennessee, Miami, and Green Bay and the Giants. So that should all be exciting. But yeah, I'm just a fan of football, so I'm excited to see what week 14 can bring us.
I'm going back to Jefferson real quick before we move on. Yeah, I agree, he's very expressive on the sidelines, and I don't know, just with Al, and he does have a backup quarterback. And so you mentioned him not getting looks when he's, you know, thinking he's, when he's one-on-one. That could be a big thing, because coming off of a 4-interception game with Dobbs, it's, you know, he's probably kind of he might go in gun shy. And if he goes out there and he makes a pass to JJ in like single coverage and it's a bad pass and it gets picked, or he makes a pass to somebody else and it gets picked, he may be pretty hesitant to give him those looks in one-on-one opportunities. Not that JJ is going to get many one-on-one opportunities, but it is something that, yeah, definitely to keep in mind. We may see JJ just decide to sign with a different team this offseason, or after this game, not even wait till the offseason.
Sure. Yeah, anything's possible. We will see how things...
Actually, that's probably not possible. But
probably not possible? Okay. Time will tell. But Walters in the chat says, I think Dobbs will have a short leash this weekend. Time will tell. I mean, they decided to stick with him versus going back to Hall or trying to start Mullins. They stuck with Dobbs, so we'll see how things go. But Josh, we are running out of time. Your wife has to leave, so we will leave it at that. We will hit the outro. Do you want to... I know you've talked about Ben. I didn't hear other names. I know you said them, but is there anyone specifically you want to call out, whether it's to wish good luck or to talk trash against, as the playoffs loom?
No, because it's just going to jinx me, and I'm terrible at things. But I do wish Walters good luck after Zeke Elliott put up so many points against me this week and deflate these balls. I do think that Walters, you're going to get your first win of the year. Good job.
Can you imagine?
And, you know, starting your playoff push a little bit late.
Started getting week 14. But okay, yeah, I don't have all my matchups in front of me. I don't think I have any winning in games. I don't think I'm on the fringe anywhere necessarily. So I'll just say good luck all to the nerds out there, and we'll see you in the playoffs, because I think I'm going to make the playoffs in every league but one. So that'll be exciting. But yeah, we love you, everyone. We will see you on Tuesday evening, and we wish you a merry happy week 14. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, actually, Walters, I do wish you luck in beating Jack, because your trade with Glick made absolutely zero sense for you. Even though your team has done better, you were eliminated from the playoffs, and you just made his team, which was a fringe playoff team, better. And of course, the player that you traded him is the one that put up 25 against me last week, giving me a loss. So yes, team chemistry is everything, and you gave Glick's team more chemistry because his is on the fringe of a playoffs, whereas yours is on the fringe of getting a better opportunity for nothing.
I mean, what league is that in?
Victoria's Secret. Traded Derrick Henry for, I don't even know.
I mean, isn't there like a punishment in that league, though? There's still something to play for, right?
He wasn't going to get the punishment. Oh, there are only a couple teams.
Is there a consolation prize?
No.
Well. Anyways, that's not my league. That's not my business. So I'm just going to play the outro song now because you're a minute late, Josh. We got to get you going. Walters is defending himself in the chat, and I am not. I don't really care enough to relay the messages. So we got to get going. Josh, we love you. Walters, thank you. Sorry we didn't tell you we were broadcasting earlier. That's on us. But we will talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Go Packers.
Good morning. I don't know.
Yeah, good one.
Are we are you available to play video games?
I might be available. I don't know how interested I am, to be 100% honest.
All right. I wasn't necessarily thinking Warzone. I was thinking more zombies still, but it's whatever.
My mood could always change, but it's certainly sitting here right now, I wouldn't say I'm excited to play video games of any variety.
Okay. Well, if you change your mind, I'll be on.
Sounds good, cutie.
Bye.